She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this indeed is Mrs. Green's World. Thank you so much for listening and for being a part of our world. So, as with every podcast I do, a big shout out in the beginning to the sponsor of the show. And in this case, it's the Agnes Nelms Howery Program in Environmental and Social Justice at the University of Arizona. And before we get to our guests and to the amazing story they're about to share, let me first tell you a little bit about the Howery Program, because what they are doing in places all over the Southwest, along our Mexican border, and in northern Mexico is impactful and important and brings about lasting positive change for our planet and for the people whose lives the Howery Program touches. I've seen it. I hear about it. I've been really a huge admirer of the Howery Program since it got started. So what is the program? It's an environmental and social justice program that leverages the power of university-community partnerships to address environmental and social justice challenges. And Mrs. Howery moved to Tucson in 1965, was a dedicated philanthropist, funding people, organization, and University of Arizona programs to improve social justice throughout the Southwest. The Howery Estate Trustees and the University of Arizona established the Howery Program in 2014 to continue her legacy work on social justice issues with a linkage to the myriad of environmental challenges we continue to face each and every day here in this community and certainly around the world. The core of the program is its competitive grant-making program, which seeds U of A community partnerships to work on solutions to those social justice and environmental challenges. The program seeks transformative change by addressing these persistent problems through partnerships. And we really emphasize that word because that's when the good starts happening, when people have their collective thinking caps on, their brain power is focused, and they work in intentional, really meaningful partnerships. And in the first 4 years since 2014, the Howery Program has funded 14 seed grants and 2 challenge grants. And seed grants are 2-year grants that get you started, and then there are challenge grants, which are longer funded programs, and it's a very competitive and exciting process. They have also funded 10 faculty fellows and 6 visiting associates through the competitive program. One of those seed grants, funded for 2 years beginning in July 2017, is the topic for our show today, and it's a comprehensive partnership between the Tucson Village Farm, El Rio Community Health Center, and the University of Arizona Medical School. Now, just think of the magnitude of those partnerships. I mean, it's a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, but it is one of the seed grants that was funded for 2 years starting in July 2017. And another word about Howery: in addition to the grants, the Howery Program also funds students, faculty, and researchers at the University of Arizona and initiatives which build capacity, dialogue, and advocacy. In other words, Mrs. Howery left quite a legacy, and her philanthropy continues to bring about positive changes and will do so for many years to come. Now get ready to hear why it takes a village and a pharmacy to make some great things happen when it comes to healthy eating and healthy habits. Please join me in welcoming a wonderful combination of guests today, representing all of the participating partners. Joining me is Elizabeth Sparks, 4-H Youth Development Agent from Tucson Village Farm, Dr. Alyssa Sadala, a pediatrician from El Rio Community Health Center, and soon to be doctor. Jen, do you like that I said that? It's not that, but I mean, you're on your way there. Soon to be doctor, Jennifer Akazawa. Mm-hmm. A second-year medical student who serves as co-president for the pharmacy program's partnership with the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Tucson, Arizona. So, of course, we have to start by clarifying, since it is radio and not TV, how pharmacy is spelled, so they're not thinking we're doing a program on, you know, giving out dispensing drugs. It's not that kind of pharmacy. So, Elizabeth, you want to just take about that one and how you spell it?
Sure, of course. The name is spelled Pharm, F-A-R-M-C. So kids are getting prescriptions to come to the Pharm.
How clever is that? I mean, seriously, you had us from hello in another presentation you did about that. It's like, this is so clever. So you can take turns, but I would love to know the process, how this innovation came about. It's an innovative program. It's an impactful program. Whose dream was it? How did all the magic begin?
So it really started in January of 2017 when we had a doctor who was doing a rotation here at the University of Arizona, and he came to Tucson Village Farm for the month of January, and he was integrated into all of our programs, all of our activities, everything that we had going on. And he started to think that people really need this kind of hands-on education around nutrition. And so that's when the pharmacy idea really, really started. Then we started emailing people, and Alyssa responded to the email.
Saying, we have this great idea. But I think, you know, I was thinking about in terms of prepping for the show, since there's so much good content, people will know what the University of Arizona Medical Center is. That kind of explains itself. El Rio Community Health Center, another great, great institution that we're blessed to have, but not everybody around the country listening will know what the Tucson Village Farm is. So I think you have to give a little bit of information about what that is and the kinds of things that you are accomplishing every day.
Sure. So Tucson Village Farm is an urban farm that was created by and for kids. It's right in the middle of town, right on a very busy street where 60,000 cars go by every day. So it's definitely an urban farm. And at the farm, we teach kids how to grow, prepare, and eat fresh food. And we're there to try to make our community healthier. And so reaching out to El Rio, we're trying to have them prescribe kids to come that are at highest risk for those diseases that we know are mostly preventable. So Dr. Sadala would send us those kids at highest risk for diseases. But the farm itself is a resource for the whole community. We have many, many different programs, and we reach, it's different than like a school garden or a community garden, because the school garden's great for that school, and a community garden is great for the people that have the plots. But we call it a pay it forward farm. So kids come to the farm, they have to plant something, and then they have to eat something that was planted by someone else. So it's a pay it forward farm. And with this model, we really can reach thousands of kids every year.
And you do. And the thing that two of my favorite things now, as 10 years as Mrs. Green, kids learn that their food does not come from the grocery store, which is where most kids think the food comes from. And I'm on to this, your trash does not go into the garbage. That's just like the transportation mechanism. It goes to a landfill. So I'm on to, where does your food come from? It doesn't come from the grocery store. It comes from a farm, and your trash has to go somewhere. So we won't go off on that tangent. But Alyssa, what excited you? You answered the call. You got the email, and I know Elizabeth. She is quite tenacious and passionate about what she does, and she is very well loved and respected. So what made you excited?
Well, I think after I received the email, I jumped on it right away, because El Rio Health Center and my site, the Northwest site, is less than 2 miles away from the farm. And a lot of the barrier with my patients is transportation, but many of my patients can walk to the farm or take the city bus to the farm. So it was just having that close access to a farm. And I knew that something needed to be done, because I see obese and overweight patients every day. And it just keeps getting more and more common. And we don't really have that many preventative resources for my patients. And so I jumped on it.
So tell us a little bit about the concept. What is the pharmacy concept? What happens? Who goes? I mean, describe the program itself.
So it's pretty simple. I write prescriptions for my patients to attend these events that we've come up with.
Are you serious? like you write a prescription on a piece of paper?
Well, we've pre-printed them with the address and the event date.
I love it.
And we just give them the flyer for the event, and they take it home, and we do callbacks and make sure that they can come so that we have some numbers of people. It is optional. I wish I could make it required, because I think that everyone would benefit from this. And we're hoping to just continue to expand the program. Right now, it's just been myself to recruit patients to come, but we're hoping that we can expand to other providers at El Rio so that we can get more and more patients to participate.
And in the Southwest in particular, I mean, we have just unbelievable juvenile diabetes, obesity. I mean, we're talking epidemic numbers and like you said, increasing. And Elizabeth, something you said that really just jumped out at me, of course, is it's a prevention program. What a concept. It's really helping people before they get sick. Do parents have to come with the kids?
Yes, that's a big thing, actually, that we realized early on. That's key, because we want those changes to be made in the home. And when the parents see their kids eating these vegetables, picking the vegetables, and they all cook together, then they're more likely to go home and do and make these changes. So, yes.
So that's key, too. To make it integrated into the home is everything. It's not a kid coming. So, Elizabeth, what happens once they get their prescription fulfilled? I'm loving that. And go and show up. What happens?
Yeah, we might not be able to do the prescriptions much more. You're not allowed to print prescriptions. Who knew? One of the many things we learned, but we got in trouble with the printer. You're not. It's a big no-no to just print your own prescriptions.
Give me a break.
I was like, but it's for kids to come to a farm. It's not for...
It's kind of like a joke, but not really, dude.
Right,
oh
right.
My
well,
gosh.
It had my name on it.
And so we have to protect you.
Yes.
So we're learning along the
but
way.
But we
lots
get the concept.
Yes. Yes. So so once they come, this past year, we really piloted several different ways. Like, is it best for Saturday mornings? Is it best Sunday afternoons? Is it best for Tuesday during our UPIC event? When is it best for families to come? And so we're sort of, based on which time they come, we do different activities. Usually they arrive and they will sort of do like rotations through different education stations. So one will be a hands-on cooking demonstration, one will be a lesson on budgeting, one will be in the fall they actually planted planter boxes filled with lettuce, and they're walking home with these giant planter boxes. And then we did an event at El Rio, so they came back and people were following up saying, what do I do with my lettuce now? It's getting so big. So we experimented this year with piloting many different ways that we could reach people. And so we're going to work towards that in the fall to do it all over again.
And imagine, I mean, anybody, any thinking, consciously living human being, which, you know, hopefully doesn't eliminate a lot of people, knows that if you spend any time in nature, like you said, planting, all of that with kids, there is not a kid out there that doesn't love it. I mean, I'm a grandma, and I'm telling you, my grandson, who had very, you know, he had some severe, like ADD, ADHD, never put on medication problems. What would calm him? Digging in the dirt, all of those things that are so connecting you to the earth. So there's lots of what I call ripple effects from just having them do that. So I have to ask this because I think I've disclosed this on air before. I'm not a great eater. I'm working on it. I'm getting better. What kinds of things do the kids love to eat and cook? I want to know that.
You know, one thing that we love to make is we love to teach people how to make salads and salad dressing. Salad dressing is such an easy thing that people can make in their own...
And inexpensive.
And inexpensive, with ingredients they have at their house right now. And so we like to teach people how to make salad dressings, and we do that a lot. And stir fry is the other thing.
Well, in our most recent event, actually, we had an Iron Chef competition.
You're kidding.
And,
How fun was that? I have to come amazing. Next year. I always invite myself to things that sound like so much fun.
It was amazing. And one of the moms, she created this new salad dressing, and it was like an orange citrus dressing. And it was amazing. Everyone loved it.
And look at that, that kind of fun thing. It also dispels the myth, which I try to do, and I've had people on from the National Natural Resources Defense Council that are food experts on it is not necessarily more expensive to eat healthy. We have to get that out of the box in the conversation. You can buy a lot of squash and spaghetti squash and eggplant and pinto beans. Like, I could live off pinto beans. I love them. Bean burritos, but I mean, vegetarian. We make vegetarian pinto beans. One of the least expensive things that you can make and very healthy for you.
And on Friday during our pharmacy Iron Chef, the families came in thinking, you're not giving me a recipe? You're not giving me a recipe? And they were legitimately freaking out, wouldn't you say?
I was scared too.
But how fun to make that part of it too, Iron Chef competition.
It was very empowering.
I'm so serious. You know me. I'm serious. I will come and I will do video for Mrs. Green's World. Alyssa, why do you think people come? Is it because the doctor said so? Is it because they're curious? Is it because they care about getting their kids healthier? Is it D, all of the above, different reasons?
Yeah, all of the above. We've definitely focused on the high-risk patients with elevated BMIs. That's body mass index. So I think that the parents are concerned and they're interested in making changes. But I think the initial draw actually are that the kids love the farm. Just the access to the farm, it attracts them. And many of them have been on field trips at the farm before. So they'll tell their parents, hey, that's where I went on my field trip and I would love to go back. And so they see that connection that their child has made on the field trip, and then they decide to come back with their kids. And I think the parents sometimes are hesitant at first, but then once we get them there, they love it.
So it's almost your one-year anniversary. Where did 2017 and half of 2018 go? If you know, send me an email, because I'm wondering, it's like, what? It's going to be May next week, and it was just New Year's Eve. Have you been able to... Are there some observable changes? Have you been able to see things as we come to a close? What are some of the outcomes that you've been able to observe?
It's still early on.
Right, early, for, especially for behavioral changes.
Yeah, and to see the long term. But we have had many positive outcomes so far. Lots more families cooking together, just eating healthier. I think when the parents see their child eating those vegetables, they realize, okay, if I buy these vegetables, they're not going to go to waste. That's many of the concerns that parents have, that I buy fruits and vegetables and then they don't get eaten. But when they see their kids eating the vegetables at the farm, and getting recipes to make that they see their kids eating, they're more likely to do it. And the key is really having the parents there too. So we had a couple families for the first session come with their aunt or uncle or, you know, with their friend, but not come with their parents. And when we did the follow-up clinic late in the fall, it was interesting because we did see more changes in the families that brought the mom and the dad, the ones that are doing the grocery shopping. But we did see about 75% of our first group when we did that follow-up clinic, they either maintained their weight or lost their weight. So
that's
there was
huge
improvement in their BMI. So I was really happy with that.
From a scientific observable, I mean, that's a study. So that's really research data that you're able to collect to show that it's working. And I think that the family part, you know, when I was asking you what are some of the outcomes, you said just building a sense of community with other people, what we used to do in the good old days. Even now in our family, you know, my daughter was home visiting. When you're all cooking, there's something there. There's some magic. I, of course, am setting the table because I'm not in the kitchen very often. But that's another weird thing about me. But I could smell it. I was there helping, and it was laughing. And I, of course, said, let's put on music from The Big Chill, because that's in The Big Chill even. They're all having fun about, you know, around community. So doing that and eating together is something that I certainly grew up with and that is lost. So believe it or not, we are coming up on the first break. And I think it's important that we talk about things that aren't working in our society. Like, what could we change that isn't working? We went to the Pima County Fair this past weekend, and it's like they were selling things that are disgusting that you shouldn't even sell, like deep fried Reese's peanut butter cups. And I was like, they're bad enough, even though I love them, in and of themselves. But it's like, what are we doing? Deep fried Twinkies. And we did not have any, trust me. But I thought, and there were lots of really obese people. So anyway, on that note, we'll be right back in 30 seconds. Stay here with me. Lots of more good information to come.
We'll be right back.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
And welcome, everybody. I am Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for joining us and for being a part of our global community. We're talking about a powerful partnership and a creative, innovative program designed to help prevent childhood obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other nutrition-related health problems, and describing why it takes a village and a pharmacy to do just that. Joining me for this hour are Elizabeth Sparks, 4-H Youth Development Agent from Tucson Village Farm, Dr. Alyssa Sadala, a pediatrician from El Rio Community Health Center, and soon to be Dr. Jen. For some reason, I just like saying that, okay? Maybe it's just to inspire you to get, you know, like you'll get through it. Akazawa, a second-year medical student who serves as co-president for the pharmacy's program partnership with the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Tucson, Arizona. And I'd like to just go back for a minute before we segue into the fundamental question of, you know, like, kind of like what's wrong. But Jen, what got you excited about the program? What made you answer the call?
Well, in medical school, we, for the first 2 years, were mostly reading books about how to help people. And as a physician, what we can do is just learn about diseases. But it's different to... And it's so important to get involved in the community and see who we are actually going to be working with. And it was, I've always been interested in integrative medicine, and we have a great track at the University of Arizona College of Medicine about integrative medicine and just how can we serve our patients outside of the clinic. And I've always been interested in this care through diet and nutrition. And so I thought this would be a great way to integrate this into the curriculum that we already have and expand upon it and remind us that there's more than just books in the library.
So what I think is funny, it's on my bucket list, and my bucket list pretty much comes true, to have video. I wish everybody could see the plethora of beauty in this office and fitness. Elizabeth, she biked here, and people, I just want you to know, it's 97 today. I was like, what the heck is she doing? That's, she's on her bike. But they are physically fit, so there's a piece of that that I think is observable and important, because you are being the change. You are the role models for how it looks. So I think this is a big, bold topic that all professionals working with kids observe. I have my background in mental health, and lots of it. I mean, effects of autism from food and ADHD and ADD. But when it comes to nutrition and kids, from where I sit as the non-professional in the field, there are quite a few things not going so well, as evidenced by the high number of kids with juvenile diabetes. It keeps going up, up, up. Obesity, you know, autism, they're all there. It's like there's a sale on autism these days because so many kids have it. What's with that? Like, what do you think are some of the contributing factors, and what would you all like to see changed as committed professionals to the health of our children and therefore our community? Who wants to field that one first?
I'll go.
You go. But, you go, Elizabeth.
You follow up with the medical part, okay? This is what I think.
It's a deal.
All right? You guys sitting down. I think that, well, one, it's our sedentary lifestyle, right? People are just sitting around more. We're not as active as we once were as humans, right? And two, if I could have one thing, right, it's your phones, people are...
Kids are on their gizmos. That's my nerve.
All day long.
All day long for hours and hours and hours instead of out playing. So go ahead.
It's true. And we're, and adults too, we're all sort of addicted to them.
I know.
I mean, I was on Pinterest all weekend, you know, I couldn't stop. You know, you just, it sucks you in.
I get it.
It's an addiction.
It is an addiction. It is an addiction.
And if I could change one thing though, I'd like kids to play more outside, and I'd like for vegetables to not get such a bad rap. You know, people really turn their nose up at vegetables, and you can really integrate vegetables into your diet and have them taste delicious. If you're eating something fresh and wonderful, you can really have it taste delicious. Just like, and to follow up from our pharmacy event last Friday, the mom was very hesitant to put Swiss chard into her stir fry. Like, she was scared of it. She didn't know what to do with it. We said, just cut it up and put it into your stir fry. She didn't even taste it. She's like, I didn't even taste it. It's like a very healthy vegetable.
And it
for
looked
you.
Beautiful. It was colorful.
Colorful. Oh, put beautiful. It in or you'll lose the Iron Chef competition.
Right. So she put it in, and I want, you know, eggplant don't get a good, no one says positive things about eggplant. You know, there's no commercials for
and
vegetables.
And I think a bad rap is spaghetti squash. And it's really, that's one thing I like. I'm the weird one in the room, but I think that you're absolutely right. And fortunately, my children eat everything. They eat things that never pass through my lips. So something, we did something right as parents, but you're right. And vegetables, tomatoes, like I don't eat tomatoes from the grocery store. I eat tomatoes from the farmer's market because it doesn't feel like it's from the same earth. So I understand that if it's fresh and good, and I know, Alyssa, you wanted to add something about this.
Well, just that we've become a fast food nation. It's so much easier just to go and grab something really quick. And with our busy schedules and the amount of time we're committing to electronics and our cell phones and our sedentary lifestyle, we aren't cooking. We aren't going out and eating these nutritious foods. So that definitely needs to be emphasize. We need to make changes. It's like we've forgotten how to cook because it's so easy to go grab the quick meal on the way home from the kids' activities or, you know, home from work, and you've worked all day long and you have no time to cook. So we need to change that mindset.
So my daughters read me a lot because we are on Facebook. I'm on it more than I like to admit, and it's usually Mrs. Green related, but not always. And they were reading, my daughter read just last night about millennials and how they are wanting to live in areas where there's agri-farming. They want to live near so they can go and access farms. So that gives me hope that there's somewhat of a shift. And the thought that I had in preparing for this show is we have to get kids way before they're millennials. I mean, seriously, we're talking about getting kids who are morbidly obese and get really sick because of the food they eat. Would you agree with that?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, you have to get them in. So other than, let's just recap, other than kids are on their gizmos all the time, not Kelly King's kids, by the way. I always say that. She's got a limit, and parents can set limits. Did we know that? They can set limits and say, you have an hour, and then you have to go play.
That is key.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're the parents in charge. And the lure of fast food, what are some of the other contributing factors that you feel make us a nation of morbidly obese people? Does TV have an influence? Advertising, movies? What do you think is subconsciously going into our brains? Like, you salivate when you see French fries from McDonald's.
I think that goes back. It's super, you know, it's that combination of fat, sugar, and salt. And it's just primal. And evolution hasn't caught up to what our bodies can handle at this point. Maybe one day humans will be able to use all those calories, but not with our sitting lifestyle.
Well, and I think that sugar is actually addictive too. So when we have these high sugar meals, we want more and more and more. So, and I think emphasizing that to kids, when they don't have sugar, they actually don't miss it. But when you have a little sugar, you want more. So that's the problem.
I think also with families being afraid to change a diet that they know has been, they've had the entire time that their kids have been growing up and they've always cooked the same thing, I remember there was one time that when we were in the kitchen helping out during a pharmacy day, not a single kid knew what kale was. We said, "Does anyone know what this is?" And none of them knew what it was. And it was very shocking to see that no one knew what this was, and just the ability to try this new vegetable that they can buy at the grocery store. And they all loved it, actually, when we made kale chips.
They did. I love kale mm-hmm. chips, too. That's how I get my kale. Full disclosure. But that is, there are ways. But that's a really good point. There are other ways to feed nutrition instead of potato chips, which is not a way to feed nutritiously. But, I mean, kale chips is really a way, and you can make them delicious. But that's really good news. What about, I'm curious, you know, you sit down and you brainstorm, and there's partners, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. What, from a programmatic standpoint, are there things that you learned so far that maybe looked great on paper, but that you're going to have to change? As you're nearing the end of the first year, what have you learned, or some aha moments you'd like to share? There has to be something.
Well, the big thing is including the entire family, because yes, that's how you get right. the changes made. You need the parents there, or whoever is buying the groceries, because they need to be on board with making those changes. So that was a big, definitely a big aha moment with including the entire family. I don't know. Liz, what do you think for other changes?
You know, I just want to say in regard to partnership, we've had some programmatic things, but as partners, there hasn't been any aha moments, because we've
worked, that's great to hear.
Yeah, because we've worked so
it's been amazing.
We've worked so well together. It's I feel so fortunate to have received this Howry Seed Grant, it forced us to have to partner on this project just by giving a little bit of money so we can make it all happen. So
another question then. I mean, to me, the Howry program, I mean, I am a big, huge fan, and substantively, because it's about systemic change. Mm-hmm. It's not about a one-time, isn't this great? This will be something that you'll learn from. There's going to be benchmarking. There's going to be specific outcomes, like the weight of the kids and all that stuff. What about, do you think this could be set up as a model for other communities? Because that really matters. The more of this that can happen, just the name pharmacy is really a winner. It's really a winner.
It's 100% could be duplicated in other places. Certainly, other places don't have Tucson Village Farm, but other places have where food grows, small gardens, or you could just bring food in. You wouldn't have to necessarily have a farm per se. But so many places in lots of different cities have resources that
there's
could,
school gardens, there's community right. gardens, there's farmers markets.
Yes.
So, and we were talking about that the other night, that farmers markets, you're also eating what's in season. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's not shipped 6 to 12,000 miles from outer space that this tomato came from China. So you're eating food as it was meant to be eaten seasonally.
So it could definitely, and I hope it does, become duplicated. We'd love to help anyone do that.
My sister actually is in D.C., and she works at a hospital, and they've now put in a garden, and they want to try and do a program like this.
See, it has a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. It is, I think it, you know, we always talk about scale. It'll be really scale. Will having a building help, since you got funded? But I'm throwing that in because it's wonderful that you made such a compelling case for pharmacy. You talk about planting seeds. That was so exciting to the angels that were deciding what to fund. Loved the pharmacy thing. Do you think it will really help in terms of the scope and the penetration for this community?
Yes, we were really limited by when we could get into our conference room this past year. And so once we have this new building built, we'll be able to do a lot more things.
We already have another pediatrician, excuse me, on board through El Rio. And she works at the Pascua Yaqui tribe clinic. So we're going to get her on board and expand.
It's when they talk about it, I think it's really clever too to talk about it as a seed grant. It is planting seeds, no pun intended. I mean, those are seeds of change that you can measure because of this funding that will create, you know, substantive change. In a case like this, Alyssa, what will they do about, it's always the thing here about transportation. And even though The farm is right on a great bus route. I mean, it's really one of the best because it's right in our city, very, very conveniently located. What will you do in terms of the obstacles to that? Is there, can you take the pharmacy program to a site, or is it important? I mean, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I think it's key to bring them to the farm, honestly.
I do, too.
I brought my kids to the farm, too. And just pulling a carrot out of the ground and eating it, there's just something
like
so
it.
Satisfying about that. So that's key. They do have a bus that they offered to my patients to help facilitate bringing them to the farm. It wasn't actually used that much. Most of my patients either drove themselves or walked. So I feel like most of them drove themselves, but I'm hoping that more use the bus and carpool, and we might be able to look into more options like that.
So this is part of going back to a healthy lifestyle. There are many pieces that it takes to lead a healthy lifestyle. There are, you know, it's eating healthy, what not to eat. There's enough information out there, and sometimes conflicting information, enough to make your head spin. I've never seen anyone say it's not healthy to eat vegetables and fresh food. Seriously, I mean, you get all of this information, don't eat meat, do eat meat, fats are good. This is, you know, this will lower your cholesterol, on and on. If there's one piece of healthy living advice, and you all get to weigh in on this, can you get it down to what I would call the elevator piece of advice about where does it start to lead that healthy life? You know what I mean? And to me, I can tell you that my opinion is, and I'd love that you have all a vast amount of experience, it does start with what's on your fork. Because no matter how much I exercise, if I overeat, it doesn't matter. You can't exercise 2 Reese's peanut butter cups in a day. You can't exercise that off. Literally, you can't, unless you go spinning for 3 hours or something. So what is your advice about how to really start creating a lifestyle? Everybody's not going to change everything, but people like simple steps, a simple takeaway. What would each of you say is a beginning? Because not everybody's going to be able to go to this program. Yeah. Liz, I always call you Elizabeth. Now I'm going to call you Liz. I thought I was your friend.
You are my friend, no matter what you call me.
Exactly. The bike rider.
I think that sometimes people have this notion about diet, right? Like, I have to go on this healthy diet. But it really has to be a change forever. But to make a change forever, you really have to start with a super small, sustainable steps. So if you just include more fruits and vegetables, if you just eat more vegetables every day, then that's a great first step. So just increasing, when you look at your plate, how many vegetables are on your plate? Is half your plate vegetables? Because that's a good start.
And less meat. See, I can say that. I believe that eating less meat is a good thing. You guys don't have to weigh in on it. But I mean, I saw that movie, What the Health, and I've read a lot of books about it. But eating less meat is not only good for the planet in terms of the number of cows needed to feed our McDonald's and our Wendy's and all of those places, but that's a really good idea. Eat more vegetables. And you can start by adding one. As a picky eater, that's how I started. Eating one more vegetable. My mother made everything. She was making Brussels sprouts before they were a thing. So I knew what Brussels sprouts were in my family, and asparagus. So, you know, she did stuff like that. So what would you say, Alyssa? One piece, where does it start?
Well, I think we need to cook more. We need to cook more with our families. Because just buying some simple thing is not going to be nutritious in a package that has all the preservatives and nothing healthy. So we need to cook. And I think the perimeters of the grocery store, the outside,
yes,
where all those,
yes,
veggies and fruits, try and avoid the center aisles where that food has been on shelves for a long time. Let's buy fresh stuff and cook.
Jen, do you want to add before the minute's up and we have to go to our next break, which means time's flying when we're having fun?
Well, I echo both of the previous statements, but also I think it's about balance, trying to find a balance between diet and exercise, and not necessarily a large step in a different direction, but just changing the direction.
So yeah, most people don't change everything, but you're right. When I do something, I don't say I'm going to start exercising 7 days a week. When I took my foray into not exercising, when I started back, it was like, I made a commitment to a partner 3 days a week. And then it goes into four, and then it goes into five, because you find that you can do three. So everybody, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, we still have lots more to cover, interesting information. I want to know how you found out about Howery, because I think that's important to get, you know, people to know the information and what made you feel called to respond. And I want to talk about, think about if there are any surprises. I love surprises. So what kind of surprises were there? So everybody, we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being a part of it. I say that all the time and I mean it, and I want to press pause. It's not just some line I read. Thanks for being a part of our world and for joining us. This is a really important podcast. It's our health, the health of our children, the health of our planet. So our guests today are sharing with us why it takes a village and a pharmacy to help prevent childhood obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other nutrition-related health problems. Joining me for this hour are Elizabeth Sparks, 4-H Youth Development Agent from Tucson Village Farm, Dr. Alyssa Sadala, a pediatrician from El Rio Community Health Center, and Jen Akazawa, a second-year medical student who serves as co-president for the pharmacy program's partnership with the University of Arizona's College of Medicine in Tucson, Arizona. So, Jen, I do want to ask you, co-president, so what does that mean? Are you sharing this responsibility with someone? Which I think is great. Prevention programs are not the biggest curriculum in medical school. That's fair to say, right?
Yes. I'm a co-president with Kelsey Shea, another one of my classmates, who's also interested in working with teens and just nutrition and kind of learning how to connect to our patients outside of just the clinic. And we are both interested in working on this project because we wanted to kind of know...
You wanted to know about impacts of eating and health and all of that on kids. What excited you about it? I mean, I asked you, I think, three questions in there. So it's okay. It is. It's a lot. But I mean, it's like you got excited and it's prevention. So tell us about that. You're co-president with her.
Sure. We decided to have it become a part of the CUP program at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, which is the Commitment to Underserved People program. And as part of this, we were able to get medical students involved in some of the activities in pharmacy. At first, it was mostly just Kelsey and me kind of working to kind of get our feet on the ground for this first couple of sessions. But then eventually we got some of our classmates involved and they learned so much. I mean, we're mostly studying in the library and, you know, our diets might not be the best, but learning how to help our patients and also help ourselves to improve our diets and ultimately feel better.
So my specialty and what inspired me to do Mrs. Green's World is climate change and the impact of climate change on every single living thing on this planet. It's impacting us now as we speak. And, of course, coming from a social service background, I was not necessarily expecting to find that hit first and hit hardest are women and children who are in marginalized communities. So lower-income communities, they're hit the hardest. In Tucson, it seems to me, and my social service background is getting a little bit old, but it was marginalized communities, lower socioeconomic impact for things like childhood obesity, which then does affect mental health. So are you finding a lot of your patients are at what we consider at risk or lower income? What's your experience been there, Alyssa? Because this is about social justice.
Yes. I mean, with working at El Rio Community Health Center, it's all underserved. And so they are at risk. And it's, I mean, one in three of my patients is obese. And it's getting worse and worse.
You are kidding.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have the resources, and they don't want to spend their limited budget on foods that aren't eaten. So getting them to the farm to learn more about these vegetables that their kids will actually eat is huge. And I think that's how we get them to make changes. But yes, it's really unfortunate.
And, you know, doing what I did, I understand why a mom takes kids out to get a 99-cent Happy Meal. Because that's about what she has, is $5 for dinner. So shame, blame, and guilt, be righteous about that. But that's not really a lot of times what's happening. It's what can be afforded to be put on the table. And maybe she works two or three jobs, not a myth. Mm-hmm. And so let's have some fast food. But cooking, when you think about it, and really I mean this, when you think it through, it takes less time. I'm not kidding, because we didn't want to go out to eat when my kids were home, because it takes a lot of time, it's noisy, it's crowded, it's more expensive. So we opted pretty much to eat home, and it is less expensive.
Definitely is less expensive. And we go over that actually at the farm. They do a program on shopping on a budget, and they realize how, you know, a head of lettuce actually, you know, everything lasts longer, and they put it to good use, so nothing gets wasted, which I really think is important to emphasize with the families.
It is really important. And, you know, another thing about our community, which we're so blessed, I mean, this is a national show, but I think people learn from things that we talk about on this show that they might implement in other places, but El Rio Community Health Center is like a jewel. It is really a jewel. So I would think that this program would be embraced by them at every level possible, because they are all about prevention, like Tucson Medical Center. Yes, they have sick patients, but what they really want to do is keep people out. Agreed?
Agree.
So they'll embrace it as it goes on. I'm just curious. There are no wrong answers in Mrs. Green's world. But Howery, because of the world I live in terms of environmental impact, has really had an impact on this community already in 4 short years. Have you guys seen other examples of Howery? I mean, I want to know how you even heard about it and learned about it, because it is about lasting change and social justice.
Yeah, we are so fortunate to have the Howery program at the University of Arizona, and that it's required to build partners with the community. It has and it will continue to change our community. I first learned about it through another grant recipient who was up in an Indian reservation in northeastern Arizona, who had received a Howery grant, and that's how we first knew about it and looked into it and felt like they have a what they call the donut.
I was going to say, you were doing your hand movement, and I'm like, I know, the donut. And right. It's the guide. It's the guiding force.
Right. It's just a visual image of what, it's not an actual donut.
It's not a Krispy Kreme.
No.
It is not a Krispy Kreme, everybody.
That would be a sometimes food.
Yes. That's so, right, the reward food.
So we just looked at their donut as a visual representation of all the things that they fund, and we covered a lot of those things through what we do at Tucson Village Farm. So it seemed like a great match. And it's really great when you have a program, and then the grantor is just a phenomenal and amazing organization like Howery is.
They want to work with you.
Right.
It's not like we're the funders, do this. It's a partnership with them too.
Right. It's fabulous.
It's really helpful. And yeah, I'm a big fan. What about things like there is a question here, but when it comes to something you said about going on a diet, I got that out of my vocabulary as a lifelong dieter, up and down, up and down, up and down. I say now I'm changing the way I eat. Is that a basic message of this program? It's, to me, it's so important because one is deprivation. I'm going on a diet. And in fact, a diet is whatever you eat every day. Mm-hmm. So is there a mindset? Is there an effort to say, to incorporate that in ways in the curriculum and what you're doing, that this is really not a diet? This is a healthy way of eating.
Yes, that's true. It's a way that's what we have sometimes foods at the farm, you know, things like donuts.
That's really important too.
Right. Just you have to, but you really, like, we do a sugary drink lesson where we take a variety of drinks that the kids and the families would see on a normal and probably consume on a daily basis. And then we rate them into a slow, go, and whoa drinks.
Oh, I love it. Who's the clever one over there? You got pharmacy and slow, go, and whoa?
That was a 4-H curriculum, actually.
Love it, so, love it, love it.
And so when they see that really the only thing in the go section is milk, water, and unsweetened tea, and everything else is
then
either
they want to go away.
Right. We had a dad who had a McDonald's, like, Frappuccino kind of whatever,
right,
milkshakey thing. And he's like, can you look up on your phone how many grams of sugar are in this? I don't think he's had one since. But so it's really just talking to people about what's in there, what's in those drinks, so they're not drinking so much sugar.
Yeah, making more healthy choices, I think, is the big thing. And I talk to kids every day about their diets, meaning what they eat. So I emphasize that a lot with my patients. There's a lot of kids that come in that are getting bullied or that are made fun of because of their weights. And so I think you have to take that stigma away and say, we're not putting you on a diet. We're trying to get you to eat a healthy diet and make those healthy choices.
What a difference in the message. And it's like nobody in the world wants to be a fat kid in the classroom still. After all these years of me being out of school, the bullying goes on. It's just not a good thing to be that kid. It's really hard. I want to know, is there anything you learned that surprised you so far? I mean, did you have any surprises about, you know, like parents being resistant or, you know, going just a little bit down in the weeds, were there any surprises?
I think the big thing that I saw was that these parents didn't realize their kids like to cook because they've never actually asked them if they wanted to cook the meals. So the moms or dads are cooking and their kids are on devices or maybe doing homework or other things, but they didn't realize their kids like to cook. And all of my patients have said it's the cooking that they really like to do. That made it the most fun. Because I get feedback, you know, after the programs, I ask them, what did you like best? And it's usually always the cooking. And it actually brings the families together.
Love that. Oh, love that. Anybody else want to add? Liz, you have anything? Jen? If not, it's okay, because I have another question. I always got a lot of questions. Jen, what do you think about this experience and being involved as you were excited, will it change what kind of doctor you are, do you think?
I think this will definitely change how I perceive my role as a physician in the community, because being a part of this program has showed me that the patients, they really do want to make a change in their lives. It's not just, you know, giving a bunch of prescriptions or things that we read in our books. It's about making a connection with our patient. And also, from the first day of pharmacy, there have been families that have come back every single time. And seeing them, as I'm learning about ways to help them, just grow and improve their diets and, you know, just learn about how to improve their diets as a family, has made a big impact on not only my life, but also all of the medical students who have come to volunteer at the farm.
So that's really important because you'll be out there affecting hundreds and thousands of lives on a go-forward basis. So talking about this and having this experience so early on in your career, to me, is another ripple effect of a Howery grant. Let's be honest. I mean, it's a really good opportunity that might not have presented itself. And I don't even know if there's a question here or an opportunity for me to pontificate, but if you have any thoughts on it, why is this country in general so focused on intervention and treatment and not on prevention? And I want to say this as a fiscal conservative. If you educate kids And if you feed them healthy, guess what? They succeed in school and ultimately become taxpayers. If you want to be a total honest to God, let's measure it. If you feed them healthy when they're younger, they are less likely to be obese in adulthood. They're more likely to keep those healthy habits. What is, like, is it parents? Is it school? What do we need to do to get more focused on prevention? We spend hundreds of millions of dollars on jails and prisons instead of crime prevention programs. Same thing with the medical profession. There's not prevention programs. Thank God TMC does them. El Rio does them. But as a general mindset, the medical profession isn't focused on prevention. Is that fair, Alyssa, to even say that?
Yes, but I wish I had the answer because
I wish I had the answer too.
I think so many of us realize that, but it takes a village.
It takes a village. And the answer is that. You answered it. It's not going to be legislation, pretty much, not anytime soon, that's for sure. It's going to be people taking ownership and connecting their kids to healthy food, connecting them to the earth. Liz, what do you have? Anything going on up there in that head of yours about why do we not do it? And this, wouldn't you say yours is a prevention program?
For sure, it's a prevention program. And I don't know why we don't spend more time preventing things instead of treating the disease later. And so I'm just thinking we just need to get more funding.
Yeah, and that's
and
absolutely true.
We need to spread the word.
Yeah.
And we need to shift the funding. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, I spent a lot of time at the legislature in my earlier years saying this, you know, an ounce of prevention, there's a reason why that stays around because it's absolutely true. And we could prevent so many things if we educated girls better and, you know, kept them in science and things like that. What about, what are you going to do differently in the second year? Is there anything upcoming, like preview of coming attractions, or is it to enroll more people? You'll have another physician working with you. What's your plan for year two?
Well, one thing that we're at the farm, we have our 4-H club that is our 4-H Healthy Living Ambassadors. And one thing we're going to do in the second year is use them to help do some of the teaching. We brought them out on one of the last programs, and they love teaching. And these are our teens that teach for us all the time, and putting them together with the pharmacy program just seemed like a very positive experience. So we're going to include more teens in the program. So
how great is that, right?
Yeah, kids love to learn from each other, so I think it's wonderful.
And if you're a second or third grader and some cool 14 or 15-year-old is up there, it's like, that's really a good thing, right?
Yes, it's much better than the moms telling you to eat your vegetables.
Yes, that's right. So that's one other positive change. And then increased capacity, is that also a goal so you can reach more families? Because obviously there's no shortage of families.
For sure. Yeah, we're hoping to expand to the other clinics, other providers at El Rio. We actually have an upcoming meeting to discuss that since it is the closure of our first year. So looking forward to it.
And you know what? I'm looking forward to having you back. And I mean that in a year to sit here and reflect on some of the things that happened and what positive change came about. I have it somewhere in this house, that an expression I lived by, and I will get emotional. It's okay. We are all criers and it's fine. More people should be criers is my two cents. But children are the only future we'll ever have. Children are only future. So invest in them and invest in them wisely. And it's just, I don't get it. I mean, let's plan for the future. This was wonderful, and it's great to meet both of you. And Liz, great to see you, even though you came on your bike and put me in cardiac arrest because it's 97 degrees. I'm so proud of you. Oh, my, Liz, like, she's on her bike. So there's a lot of good things going on, and I think, I say this, man, I just wish I had known Mrs. Howery, because everybody who did know her, you know, you guys are shaking your head. She was something else, and she's happy. She's really happy to see something like this happening. So our Down to Earth show on May 3rd, from brown fields to green ones, redevelopment done right. It's a great show about taking brown fields and getting them approved for building and development. And then our May 8th show, the second in our series of May shows spotlighting women leading the charge to address global warming. This show will feature Marianne Hitt, director of the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign, Climate Solutions, Leading Women Beyond Coal, Is Your Health at Risk? Thanks for being a part of my world. And all three of you, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.